Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report online at SchachterEnergyReport.ca. He's speaking to us from my birthplace, Calgary, Alberta. Welcome back to the show, Joseph.
My pleasure, Jim. Good to be with you again.
Crude prices have come down a bit from their peak of $130 a barrel. Will they fall much further?
Well, I think there's a war premium there. And, of course, right now there's a lull where the troops have been moved from the greater Kiev area, and they're being repositioned and re-kitted in the Donbas area. So I think that, you know, at some point we're going to see the invasion phase continue. And depending upon if they use, thermobaric bombs or chemical warfare, which some people said they've used phosphorus already, then I think we're going to see prices potentially go higher. And then if there's more sanctions put on, then the question is, you know, who does it hurt? Does it hurt Russia? Because they can always sell to China and India and other places. Or does it hurt Germany and France? And I think there was an article on Monday that in Germany, industry there has to have an approval to do price increases. So it's not like you go to Safeway or you go to a store in Calgary and you see the price change and the prices are going to go up for oil, you know, store prices. And in Germany, they have only windows to do it. And they raised the food prices in the stores 20 to 50% on Monday. So, you just think about disposable income between the higher energy prices, your electricity bill, transportation, food. All of this is just squeezing the lower middle class and the working poor. And this is going to be unsustainable and likely to cause severe recessions. The inversion in the yield curve in the United States, I think, is a tough one. And I think that, we're likely to see recession. When we have recessions, the last one we had was in 08, 09. Demand was 88.5 million in the summer of 2008. And by Q1, 09, less than 9 months later, it was 83 million. So we dropped 5.5 million. And the key is, we have about 2 million barrels maybe of shortage. The U.S. supplies are up about 200,000. So we've gone from 11.6 to 11.8 million this week of domestic crude supplies. And there's been an increase as well for liquids in the United States. They've added up, they did the 60 million of, from the strategic reserve before. And now they've added about another 180 million in the U.S., about a million barrels a day into the end of the year. And Europe, or the IEA, has added another 60 million. So you've got about a million barrels, more production in the States. So the U.S. is going to be in good shape. And we saw this week that the U.S. commercial stocks went up by 2.4 million. And total stocks, excluding the SPR, went up by 5.2. So you had a decent increase in the U.S. supplies. And even we saw Cushing increase in capacity. So I think the U.S. is going to be producing 12 million by the summer and then 12.4, 12.5 by the end of the year. So the U.S. industry is responding to the rising prices, reinvesting in the industry. And most of them probably were smirking and wondering, when Biden last week, if you remember, he rebuked the industry saying stop spending money on stock buybacks and dividends and increase supply. And you could almost feel like he was choking when he was saying that, given his view on energy. And I think that we're going to see the recession be the equalizer where supply exceeds demand sometime during Q3. And I think prices will go lower. So could we see 150 in the next few weeks if the war goes ugly and they use, you know, weapons of mass destruction and thermobaric bombs, as they try to take, the Donbas, Kharkov, and Odessa. Yes, could we see $50 WTI in Q3 if the recession is severe? Yes. So I think we're in a very volatile market, just like we were in 08, 09. And the question then is, do you buy the thesis of recession? I believe with the inverted yield curve, with all the Fed announcements that we've seen from different Fed members talking about 50 basis point increase in May, and that $95 billion a month is going to be run down from their $9 trillion, balance sheet. Remember they were buying $120 billion a month, you know, prior to last year, or, you know, in last year. And so that swings about 2.2 trillion. That's 10% of U.S. GDP. So you're going from a monetary heroin of 6% growth to a monetary withdrawal of -4 or a 10% swing. That's probably one of the toughest and tightest swings we've seen in the Federal Reserve since the late 1970s, when Paul Volcker took a 2x4 to the economy and raised rates to 20% to beat down inflation.
Mm. Do you think anybody in the U.S. Fed has the will, the guts, or the political ability to do such a dramatic raise in interest rates again to bring down inflation?
No, I think that the problem is that the yes, individuals are borrowers, and raises interest rates going up 100 basis points, 200 basis points are going to hurt. But when you have over $30 trillion of debt and you're the United States government and a $23 trillion economy, and you add 1-2% to that, you're talking $600 billion of your revenues are going to have to go to interest payments. They can't afford it.
Mm.
And that's why I think the recession is how they're going to accept it, because they cannot afford to tighten rates by 300 basis points, 500 basis points, because the biggest borrower, the worst credit, is the government.
And also, too, homes are a lot more expensive now than they were back in the late 70s, early 80s. So now a 1% or 2% increase in the mortgage rate means you're paying anywhere from $600 to $1,000 more a month.
Yeah, you take that plus, the, you know, food costs up $1,000, you know, versus $500 going maybe back a year ago. You know, all of that just drags away your, you know, disposable income. And it cuts back what you can spend money on. And, you know, you look at a car, you want to replace a car, you know, look at the cost of that versus what it was, you know, 2 years ago before the pandemic and before the supply chain problems with the semiconductors. You know, to me, we've pushed the, the envelope here to keep the economy going and going and going. And, the game's over. And the central banks realize, you know, it's an election year. Yes, normally we want to stay on the sidelines. We've got no choice. This inflation is not transitory. We are very wrong. You know, the 5.6% on the PCE deflator, and they want that at 2%. And the last number we got from the PPI was 9.7%. These are horrible numbers, and they're understated probably because they keep on adjusting the base.
Mm-hmm. And as Wolf Richter points out in an interview he's just done for our show, This Week in Money, inflation hits the poor the hardest because they're already buying the cheapest cereal. They're driving their cars the least. They own the least expensive everything, and most of their money goes to rent and food already.
And people start losing their jobs. That just is going to compound it. Right now, you know, we're still seeing people going out post-pandemic. They want to go into restaurants. They want to eat out. But if they start realizing the pinch in their pocket, that's going to stop, which means at some point the jobs in the hospitality industry are going to disappear again.
We'll have more with Joseph Schachter right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Joseph Schachter. Joseph, with Europe finding out that Russia is not a reliable source of energy, Germany relies on Russia for most of their, or a large portion of their natural gas. Canada has got loads of natural gas, but we have no way to get it to Europe yet. And one of the suggested ways, if the East Coast and Quebec don't want Canadian pipelines, has been why not use the port of Churchill in northern Manitoba as a way to get natural gas to markets that want it?
Well, natural gas and oil. You know, you could put an oil pipeline from Fort Mac through northern Saskatchewan into Manitoba. You know, the First Nations in those areas, would, you know, across those areas would probably be very supportive of being owners. And you could handle the, you know, the logistics of building it. And, of course, it's shorter than going through the mountains in B.C., you know, with all the issues there of environment and rights of way. And, you know, it makes a lot of sense. And, you know, you could use oil by rail or oil by pipe or natural gas by pipe. And it makes an enormous amount of sense, you know, logically, but nobody's grabbed it and said, let's run with it. You saw Shell announce they're going to potentially double the, you know, put in two more trains and, you know, produce 4 BCF a day for export to Asia. And that, you know, is, you know, a good decision they'll make in the next year or two on the FID, you know, the final investment decision. But the 2 BCF that they wanted, you know, it's taking longer, more costly, the problems with the coastal pipeline system. You know, you've got lots of hassles here. And you look at TMX, 50% cost overruns because of the flooding and the delays and the pandemic. So the experience of builders of pipelines is not very good. And, you know, in fact, you could argue that pipe in the ground is way more valuable than it was before. But it most of our pipe heads, you know, let's say to the east for natural gas and mostly south for our oil, you know, for Canada. You know, like we produce about 5.5 million barrels a day of oil, but we ship, you know, bulk of it to the States. The U.S. consumes last week 3.92 million barrels. That's up 14.9% from a year ago, 3.4 million. So with Line 5 being built, we are exporting much more to the United States. So 5.5 means we use, you know, 1.6 million in Canada, and we ship 3.9 million to the States already.
Now, I know environmentalists argue that Canadian natural gas isn't clean because not that it burns dirty, but because of all the leaks while you're producing it and while you're shipping it. But I just saw an article that used satellite photos that can detect methane. All these major leaks are in Russia. In Canada, we have very good environmental regulation and control and inspections. And frankly, here, they don't want to waste one cubic meter of gas if they can help it because they know it's worth a lot of money. In Russia, they don't care. They just don't care about quality. They never have. They never will. So
yeah, I think the minute changes that could improve things in Canada, the industry has done such a good job on bringing the emissions down, you know, the work on carbon capture, the work on hydrogen. You know, you saw Suncor announced that wind and solar just don't make economic sense anymore because of the weather works or the weather doesn't work, and they're going to go to hydrogen. So everybody's looking at what can be functional in Canada, what can work in Canada, and how do we get to our targeted emission goals. And you know, we've now seen Suncor make a major decision to get out of one area because they don't see the economics or the efficiencies that they're expecting. And you know, I think that, you know, the Canadian industry should be given a pat on the back, but you know, the environmentalists look at what can be done better at the margin, rather than saying let's go crazy, build a lot of natural gas, you know, LNG export facilities, because we're going to close down, you know, dirty coal in China and India and Europe, and you know, they still use a ton of coal in eastern Germany. They still use a lot of coal in Poland. They, you know, and if we could, you know, transplant that with Canadian LNG, and that's what the Americans are planning to do. You know, they've got I think 14 BCF of exports, you know, right now. And, you know, I've seen data that talks about getting to 25, up 11, you know, BCF by the end of the decade. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be a player, and we may only have the one plant at, you know, maybe 2, maybe 4 BCF on the West Coast, LNG Canada.
Right. And Stuart.
Like and the transportation distances are much shorter. Like, we have so many advantages to build this business. And yet everybody's asleep at the switch.
Mm-hmm. Friend of the show, Stuart Muir, pointed out one of those giant LNG ships ships at least $100 million of product. Just one of them.
Yeah, and you know, and profits can be, you know, $40, $50 million. So, you know, it's you know, the potential return to Canada is enormous. And right now there's only one company that in Canada, the Tourmaline, that's shipping gas to the Gulf Coast and getting the, and we'll get those prices in Q4. There's a new 140 million a day of capacity that they're going to bring into a Cheniere facility in the fourth quarter. So they're going to be the first Canadian company to get, you know, potential, you know, LNG netback pricing, which will be double the domestic price. So, we sure need a lot more of these. And some of the LNG Canada players don't have enough gas. And so they're going to have to start drilling more, or they're going to have to buy up competitors that give them the reserves they need. So, you know, I'm still a big fan of the natural gas stories in Canada, but I am worried that the general stock market, you know, today it's up 100 points, but it's been down for the week, and we're down maybe 1,000 points over a week ago. I think the U.S. market, as this Fed tightening goes on, and as companies start talking about, you know, earnings for Q1, and that there's disappointment, higher cost, supply chain problems, and they missed their numbers. And I think you remember what happened, you know, at, you know, in the fourth, when the fourth quarter results came out in January, February, we had a pretty severe market decline. And I think that's going to happen again.
Now, Alberta's treasury must be looking pretty good with these higher oil prices.
Yeah, between higher oil prices, higher natural gas prices, the royalty revenue they're getting, the, you know, sale of land, you know, coming in, that's why they removed the provincial tax. So then that, I think that knocked off 12 cents from the price of gas. We're $1.56, I think, versus $1.70-something, you know, that we had, you know, just before, they did that on April 1st. So, they've helped the consumer. But, you know, politically, you know, Kenny's got a vote, you know, as premier support coming. So, you know, every little bit the province can do to, you know, to draw attention itself. But, you know, the problems you have is that, you know, these prices, you know, potentially could go a lot higher, if we see more cutoffs of, Russia, you know, if they use weapons of mass destruction. And that's what, as I said, we could see 150. So, I think the next month or two, the military situation in Russia, Ukraine needs to be carefully watched, and does that impact world supply and demand? And then the other thing is, you know, does Russia able to sell in rubles or yuan? If they can't sell it to Europe, can they sell it elsewhere? And so if they are able to move product that doesn't sell in Europe to other places, then whoever's selling to those other countries, you know, Saudi Arabia, Iran, or whatever, would have to find other buyers, and you can just juggle the supply chains around. It's, you know, it's going to be more costly because of distances, but then we don't get, you know, that 150. Once the recession hits, then we break down, you know, 10, 20 bucks from where we are now. I still think there's 20 bucks of war premium in there, and I think that, if there's a recession, then we have sub-$60 prices for a short period of time.
Joseph, thank you so much for chatting with us.
My pleasure, as always. Take good care.
My guest has been Joseph Schachter, founder of the Schachter Energy Report online at schachterenergyreport.ca. He was speaking to us from Calgary. If you have any questions for Joseph or any of our guests, you can send them to info@howstreet.com, and we'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel, Talk Digital Network, find us on Twitter at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. HowStreet.com Radio is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.